You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon. On the phone line with us, Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie. How are you today?
Well, good afternoon, Todd. I am very, very good. I'm looking for sunshine.
No, and we are all indeed looking for sunshine at this point. You know, what's the top of your mind beyond the USDA's reports tomorrow? I know those are the things that we'll want to talk about in a moment. Anything else that you've been worried about, been thinking about, have looked into at this time?
Well, there's quite a few things, actually, when you come right down to it. Probably one of my biggest concerns are beans. At this juncture, you know, when you know that next week Monday is the 15th of September, and that's when Brazil starts the plant, okay? They've already got the 2 inches of rain that they needed, that the oils usually wait for. And this year it appears that instead of just a small portion of the crop being shorter maturity beans, they're going to really push forward on a larger portion because they want to try and stay away from spending all the money on the fungicides. And so that means that a lot of those beans will be coming out before New Year's. So, you know, that really doesn't bode well for us. We normally look for that point in time when South America is kind of not necessarily out of beans, but, you know, toward that end and they're busy with other things, that's when we pick up. And so I think that could bring some real pressure to this marketplace. And then you look at Argentina. You know, Argentina farmers are sitting on about 300 to 400 million bushels of beans from last year. If their economy begins to get better after the first year, all of that could come in against us at the very same time. And so, you know, when CONAB came out with 86.1 million metric tons of beans yesterday, we're hearing like 4 to 5% more acres. I talked with Dr. Michael Cornier, and he told me he actually thinks it's more like 95 million metric tons is where the potential is. And, you know, there's really not any major threatening weather in terms of El Nino down there. So that's something that's really bothered me a lot. And today I went and I looked at some of the retracements. I looked at the highs in December corn from August till yesterday would project 328, you know, which we're not that far away from that. But if you look at May, that was the major high that we had there down to yesterday. It takes us down to 278. And on beans, same period except July to yesterday was 945 and May to yesterday was 893. None of that sounds, that doesn't sound good. At the same time, and you know this because you've been doing meetings with me and you've been talking to me for weeks, I keep talking about the dollar. Well, the dollar hit a six-year high against the Japanese yen this week. And as simplistic as I can put it, okay, that's up 5.6%. The dollar has rallied 5.6% so far since July the 10th. On July the 10th, the Japanese could buy corn before shipping a basis for a nickel over the market. Today, it's 24 cents over the market before basis and shipping. So, you know, even though we've reduced the price of corn and the income to our farmers, it makes it that much tougher for them. So, you know, those are things that are really bugging me, let's put it that way.
You know, a couple of other things to deal with corn. I made note on my Twitter account, and I think you probably made note yesterday and maybe today with some of your Western clients, that they are harvesting, and I don't know that anybody expected them to be, but it appears they have truck lines already.
Oh, they do. It's pretty amazing when you come right down to it because what traditionally, you know, we get clients all over the U.S., okay? And so I've been talking with guys about when do you think you're going to black layer, blah, blah, blah. And last week in Nebraska, they were saying, oh, not till the end of September probably. Then they went out and checked and said, holy cow, we're almost there. And then on Monday of this week, I got a report from out there saying that an ethanol plant south of Lincoln took in 230 semi-loads of corn on a program that they had that if you were 25% moisture or below, you didn't get any shrink charged against you. You know, well, Tuesday they dropped it to 22% because 50% of the loads were below 22% already. So on average, what it appears is that corn is maturing out about 2 weeks faster than you might think according to when it was planted. And from my old agronomy days, I think, you know, it's probably related to, a continuing accumulation of growing degree aids at a faster pace because, you know, when we get above 86 degrees, it shuts the plant down. Then it takes a period of time for the plant to start back up. Well, a lot of days we had back-to-back days where we were never above 86. And so we just kept on accumulating. And that's, you know, that to me seems to be one of the things. One of my South Dakota guys had told me earlier in the week that he planted the exact same variety of sweet corn, the exact same maturity, actually even on the same field as last year, 8 days later this year and it matured 6 days earlier than last year. So I talked to a bunch of my North Dakota guys today. I said, so where are you? How far behind are you? I got the same answer. We're caught up. Now, that's hard to believe, you know, but and the other side of the coin, Todd, is we're hearing interesting things. You know, you hear a lot of talk about 80,000 kernel bushels this year rather than 90,000, which is our standard. And I actually had someone call in this morning rather panicked, and he just said, you know, we've been out there and we're running 70,000 bushel kernels, or 70,000 kernels to a bushel on land where we put nitrogen on, you know, not last fall. Last fall's isn't as high, but the stuff that they did in the spring, he said, he was just absolutely flabbergasted. So as we move forward into harvest, it's going to be interesting. And when you look at the Delta, wow. I got guys in the Delta that are running 75 to 100 bushel beans. Normally 60, 65 is probably the neighborhood, 70 maybe. And corn 230 to 250. And you're looking a lot of times down there, maybe 180 to 200 at a very good number. So it seems as if it's spread all over the, you know, all over the map here, that because of these cooler, you know, non-threatening, consistent temperatures, corn has really, really responded to that.
We'll find out more tomorrow when USDA releases its numbers, won't we? That happens at 11 o'clock Central Time. How big will that thing be? The trade, what's the average trade guess is, what, 170.6 or something like that?
170.7, I think, is the average, and 46.3 on beans.
Right.
To be honest with you, Todd, now you're probably going to be amazed when you hear this come out of my mouth, but I think they actually might be a little high on their guesses in terms of the size of the crop. I think... and maybe not. I don't know. If we're at 170.7 on USDA or NASS actually makes any adjustments to, you know, for the lack of planted, for prevented plant, then these numbers might be too high. If not, I think, you know, they're probably right in the ballpark. We're hearing numbers of 14.6, 14.5, things like that for, you know, for January's report. Carry out at 2 billion bushels on corn and 453 million on beans might be in question. I don't know exactly, but, you know, everything comes down to whether they decide on this September report, will we make the adjustments when it comes to the ethanol part of it? And may we see a rub here in terms of what we're actually producing on ethanol and how many bushels it takes versus what USDA uses for their formula? And, you know, that'll be the question. If it's 2 billion, well, we'll take our next step lower, I would think. Because
hey,
I really don't think the trade has got that in there yet.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. And we'll talk to you on Commodity Week this week. I'm looking forward to that one.
You betcha. Talk with you then. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Jackie Bakes, of course, is with Stuart Peterson. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon.